Thanks so much for joining us for the latest episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. Join us as Michael Merlin, founder of Merlin Wealth Management, and various friends and experts break down complicated financial topics to make them easy to understand. If you'd like more information about Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. And with that, here's founder of Merlin Wealth Management and private wealth advisor at Rockefeller Capital Management, Michael Merlin.
Thanks, Tom, and welcome back to another episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. Today, we are continuing our conversation about family office services and how we are seeing a profound impact from their use by many of our clients and families. And so, as promised, April Gay and Emery Bourne are back and will be moderating today's episode with me and our good friend, Rebecca Minio, the head of Family Office Solutions for Rockefeller Global Family Office, who is back with us again. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, April. Hi, Rebecca. Nice to have you back again.
Aw, thanks, Emery. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. All right, April and Emery, it's your show.
Thanks, Michael. Hi, Rebecca. Glad to have you back again. I'm going to start with you. Are you ready?
Always.
All right. I was wondering if you could walk us through how working with the Rockefeller family has helped shape the family office services offering that you have today, and how your team is able to help us provide these resources to our clients.
Yeah, so I think it really starts with another question. What have we learned from the family since our engagement in 2018? And I go back to another colleague of ours, Tim O'Hara, because he's done a tremendous amount of work with the family and really getting an understanding of how do they view a family office. And it's really six pillars, if you will, you know, that we've been able to garner from the family. It's impact investing, ESG, being pioneers in that space, wealth structuring, right? That's another one. The idea of managing what you measure and being accountable to that. Three, having an institutional approach to family office solutions. So again, going back to, we don't just have one bookkeeper and if, you know, they go out on vacation, things stop. It's the entire infrastructure behind not just one offering and one service like a bill payment, but how does that connect and how do we have a holistic and institutional approach to making the lives of our clients easy. For fiduciary services, they built the Rockefeller Trust Company. So we have two trust companies and they were built out of need. So that is another key pillar that we've learned from the family. Five, lifestyle offerings and having access to the same network that the Rockefeller family has access to. That has been crucial and something that our clients and the family themselves, they have all found a tremendous value in. And then lastly, number six, keeping the family together, family governance. I'm sure you could point to so many different client situations where you all have had to work very closely with, you know, multiple generations and either providing to them guidance on, hey, this is what you have, this is what is coming to you, or kind of going back to part one of this two-part podcast, right, is taking maybe more of an active role in a private foundation because your family is philanthropically focused and how does that pass to the next generation? So all of those things we've really learned from the Rockefeller family and all 300 members that we work with and really being able to take that information and provide that across all of our different solutions and bring that to every client who engages with the family office.
And just, I really like the fact that the people that are engaging with the actual Rockefeller family members are the same people that are engaging with the Merlin Wealth Management clients. So it's not that, I mean, we truly are all in this together. And I think that that's just such a value added fact with working with Rockefeller.
Absolutely.
So Rebecca, from what we've experienced with you so far, you know, we have clients who may want, you know, very specific things that they're asking for. And then there could be others who are looking to take, you know, advantage of everything and maybe turn over all responsibilities to us and you in partnership. Can you talk a little bit about how the family office services are structured and curated so that and how people can take advantage of them?
Yeah, great question, April. So we have three distinct offerings that clients can engage with. The first and probably the most widely used is our tailored to you solution. So really think of this as an a la carte menu, right? We can work with clients and provide just a bill pay engagement, or you know, maybe it's tax prep and filing services on a one-off basis. Maybe the client doesn't want to just have us pay their bills or file taxes, right? Maybe the client is looking for us to provide oversight of their financial life and essentially act as a personal CFO and alleviate a lot of those daily tasks that we talked about in the first podcast. That's another offering that we can work with clients on, and that's more of our holistic financial planning offering. And then really lastly, you know, we can be as custom as clients want us to be, right? A lot of clients that are flirting with the idea of starting their own single family office, or what does, you know, a different multifamily office have to offer me? Those clients are the ones that typically want something a little bit more custom than just a one-off solution or holistic financial planning. They really want us to be doing everything. They'll, you know, try and ask us to walk their dog. We won't necessarily do that for clients, but that's how, you know, custom and bespoke we can be. So really whatever the client's looking for, we, you know, chances are we can assist and we want to assist, right? Again, going back to, you know, let us grow with you.
It great segue. I just wanted to interject that, you know, as you mentioned in the first episode, and I think of the of that grow with us, and you know, we don't want our clients to outgrow us. I think of that as really the essence of what makes family office services work. And I think it bears repeating that, you know, there are no barriers to entry to access family office services at Rockefeller. I know that at wealth management firms that try to simulate a family office experience, there's typically huge barriers to entry to access family office services. But as you said on episode one, you know, this could work for someone with $2 million or $2 billion. And I think what's key about that, as I've thought about it, is that, you know, while these solutions won't make sense for every client, you know, without a doubt, there are plenty of examples where family office services can help a young executive or entrepreneur while they're still in that, as we talked about last time, that wealth accumulation mode. They're still climbing up the success ladder, because in many cases, these services save time, and any of us can benefit from that, no matter, you know, what our net worth is or where we are in the stage of life. You know, time is obviously our most precious commodity. And so I'd also reiterate that we work really closely with Rebecca and her team. So no matter what the deliverable is, whether it's a bill pay concierge, whether it's trust services, we work closely with the trust company and the trust officers. We are extremely connected to each other, no matter what services we're delivering to clients.
I think that's such a great point. And onto that end, Rebecca, I was really hoping that we could talk about some specific client examples. And one of the things that we find ourselves dealing with a lot with our clients are people that have just sold their business and they need some tax assistance and, you know, advice. And so I was wondering if you could talk about a particular situation or a client that where family office services has had to jump in and help a client that has just gone through that sale of a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Sales of businesses are very complicated, especially when a business can be in every state. So the first example and client situation that we were, you know, really particularly helpful with is the family came to us again after they had this liquidity event. We took the client on in the first quarter of last year under our holistic financial planning offering, and right away they needed to file in every single state, and they had never done done that before. It was so new to them. But again, going back to, you know, what I had said earlier is it's not new to us, right? We have been filing in multiple states for not just the family, but other clients. It's what we do day in and day out. So, you know, to bring it back to the situation, it was very clear that the client had outgrown their CPA really at that point in time, because our dedicated tax and estate professional quickly jumped in, knowing, you know, what they have gone through with other clients, and just took control of the situation, right? Having to direct the CPA on how to file, right? This is what needs to get done electronically. This is what can't. Having, you know, queuing up our bill pay team, because they were a bill pay client in addition to holistic financial planning, and saying, you guys need to send this out, right? Having and coordinating all of the internal meetings and checkpoints to make sure everybody is meeting their deadlines in this short time period. So it may seem pretty basic in terms of, hey, we jumped in to file taxes, but you know, if you haven't done this before and you only have 2 days to go about it, you need to really have an experienced team behind you that handles these situations calmly and can report back to the client, to the advisors, and let them know it is being handled. So that way it does put you and the client at ease.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that, you know, you talk about, you know, someone guiding clients through and walking hand in hand with them and making sure they're comfortable, they can sleep at night, you know, because taxes in general are already stressful enough. But when variables change around taxes, I mean, that just takes it to another level. So that's a great example of how the collective team can kind of take that burden off of our clients. Switching gears to another concern that we've had for clients, one that I'm thinking of, Michael, I know we've been working on a succession situation with a multi-generational trust. Do you want to talk a little bit about how we address that?
Sure. Before I do, I also want to just mention, with, you know, with Rebecca's example for the client family that, again, had a tax situation kind of go sideways, I love the fact that even though the family may have realized that they outgrew their CPA, the CPA wasn't marginalized. You know, the CPA was still included in the situation. And I love the fact that our tax service counselors are very willing to work with, you know, present situation, existing CPA, et cetera. So I just wanted to point that out again, because I think that's a great piece of the service that's provided. So April, in the situation that we're working on, this incorporates a lot of the pillars that Rebecca mentioned at the outset that we've learned, that I think, again, you know, while we learned it from the Rockefeller family, it really is indicative of what exists in multi-generational and in dynastic wealth situations, regardless of who the family is. And so, you know, here's a situation where the wealth creator has passed and there's a trust. The trust was created at the passing of the wealth creator for the benefit of his spouse, and then in the future for benefit of next generations. And so you know, there's already, you know, the chance for for family dynamics to get involved, because you've got a primary beneficiary who may be who's one generation, and then secondary beneficiaries who are a generation removed, right? And so when you're a trustee in a case like that, you have to manage the priority between providing for the existing beneficiary, but also making sure that the secondary beneficiaries are also cared for. And, you know, we've seen this in many situations. We work with lots of multi-generational families where there is this balance that has to be created between serving the existing beneficiary who may have like an income focus versus the contingent beneficiaries who may very well prefer a more growth-minded focus, so that the assets stretch and last longer, you know, for future generations, et cetera. And so, you know, one of the things that gets hard is as the trustees of these trusts get further along in life, they, you know, sometimes they're professionals, it's the family's attorney or their CPA, along with other family members. You know, you start looking around and saying, like, how can this continue to progress and how can it continue to evolve in a positive way as these people start to either retire or, you know, God forbid, pass away or whatever the case may be. And, you know, in most well-written trusts, there's very good succession language written into the trust. And in this case, it was very unique because the trust was supposed to have a non-family member, the existing beneficiary, and another in a family member, a related family member. And so the existing beneficiary came to us and said, look, the non-family member is going to retire. The existing family member is getting up there in age and should probably be replaced. But I don't want to have to choose another family member. Like, I don't want to have to choose between this side of the family or that side of the family. Like, I don't want to have to do that. And so what are my choices here? Like, I don't, there's not really another professional that I want to name. I don't want to have to pick between a family member. And there was a clause in the trust that said you can replace everybody with a corporate trustee. And I will caveat this by saying I know that clients of ours that are on this podcast that have heard us talk for 25 years about don't hire a corporate trustee because it is nameless, faceless, antiseptic. They don't care about you or the family. They just look at the language in the trust and they are just very unemotional about it. And that has been true up until now. But as you said, Rebecca, in the earlier parts of these podcasts about our services, this trust company, the Rockefeller Trust Company, was created by the family in concert with the family and for exactly this purpose, which is to be that continuous, objective, but also very aware, informed, and, you know, connected partner to the family to preserve this delicate balance between today, you know, between present and future. And so we introduced the idea to the family of using Rockefeller Trust Company as that bridge. And again, I think it touched on 5 of your 6 pillars, right? It solved potential family governance issues. It solved succession issues. It created institutional organizational stability. So the trust company does the tax return now. They, you know, will prepare the, you know, all the trust reporting that needs to be done. So all of that has been taken to a next level, so much so that the family also works together multi-generationally in their philanthropic endeavors, and now want to hear more about our philanthropic services because of how well it's gone on the trust side. So I think it's another great example of how, again, the services are being used today.
Michael, that's a perfect segue into my next question that I had for Rebecca. While we're giving specific examples of family office services, Rebecca, one of the things I was hoping that you could give was an example of where our philanthropic advisory team has stepped in to provide services to a client.
Yeah, so we had a client who was a co-founder and CEO of an animal hospital that recently the business was sold. And so they decided to take some of the liquidity and create their own private foundation. They were engaged with a competitor in this space, but they were really having a tough time. You know, they weren't receiving proactive advice. There was no real approach to anything. It was really just, it was very out of the box, right? There was nothing unique and, strategic about the service that this client was getting. So they went to their advisor and, you know, the advisor said, oh, our family office has these services. We spoke with the client and everything that the client was feeling like such a pain point, right, in this relationship, you know, they were like, wow, you guys can literally solve all of these headaches for us and you will reach out to me. You will be proactive. That was really the key piece. And so we took over the relationship at the end of last year, and you know, it's been going really well. We're, you know, meeting with the client on a regular cadence. We're the ones that are scheduling the meetings alongside the advisor. We are the ones that are saying, you know, this is what we think the strategy should be. Do you agree with this? Do you not agree with this? So it's much more client centric in terms of how do you envision your private foundation being run, being managed, right? So that is where we're you know, providing a unique experience that I think is filling some of the voids out there with some of our competitors. The last thing I'll say about the service that the other competitor couldn't compete with us on is we have a grant administration tool. So it's nice because you can not only provide access to the trustees of the private foundation, but you also, as the advisor team, you can have a view into how are they tracking to their allotment for yearly grants. And you guys can take that information when you meet with your clients and talk to them about, hey, you know, we need to do a little bit more work here. We, you know, we're coming up on the deadline. So I think that is a really great offering as well. So again, going back to connectivity between us here in our family office services and alongside the private advisors like you all, I think it brings a really unique and holistic approach where we're not operating in silos.
Thanks, Rebecca. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you mentioned the grant making tool because I do think that that is a super useful tool. So thank you.
Michael, before we run out of time, I wanted to mention that we recently created a new family office service called Wealth Concierge that was designed in partnership with Merlin Wealth Management. We're really excited about the service. Can you describe the client situation that prompted you to come to us with creating this new offering?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think, as we said before, you know, family office solutions need to be curated, right? Some are off the shelf and, you know, easy to implement, whether that's bill pay or tax prep. And then, you know, sometimes you kind of get in a gray area where, you know, maybe someone doesn't need the full weight of a comprehensive bill pay program. They don't need tax preparation, but they may just want kind of they want help organizing their tax materials. They may want some things paid but not others. And so, you know, as April mentioned in part one of this podcast about family office services, you know, the ability to pay taxes has gotten much more complex. There's risk involved, not just as we talked about with electronic payment versus sending checks and the concern about check fraud, but also we've seen a lot of mistakes and errors being made on the IRS's side, payments being applied improperly, you know, et cetera. It just creates headache for the client. And again, that's the whole point of this, is to take these kind of things off of the client's plate. And so, you know, we sat back and said, well, while we may not be able to accomplish what a client wants to accomplish with the services that are available today, because they may be, you know, too complex or too intense for the circumstances, there was sort of a combined offering we wanted to see if we could create. And that really is very simple. We had a client who came to us. He's a CEO of a company here in town. And he said, look, I love my CPA, but I don't ever want to talk to him about K-1s, 1099s, estimated taxes, any of that stuff. I want you guys to do it for me. I want you to get access to all my K-1s. I want you to organize them in a secure place that he has access to, that he can get them. If he has questions about anything, he's calling you. He's not calling me. And I also want you to be able to pay the tax, you know, pay the state estimated tax bill, pay the final tax bill. I want you to be able to do that. And oh, by the way, all of that also goes into concert because he bothers me constantly about a personal financial statement that I have to prepare every quarter because I guarantee certain things and whatever, whatever. And so I don't want to have to talk to him about that either. So can you just be my conduit, if you will, for these specific things? And when we kind of thought about that, we said, you know what, I think there are a lot of our clients who would want this specific kind of service. And so, you know, we came to you and, you know, it was, again, an amazing not the first example, certainly, but another example of the amazing partnership between Merlin Wealth Management and Rockefeller and the culture at Rockefeller, which is, you know, this was a service that did not exist a year ago. But in talking to you and brainstorming this with others, you know, in the executive management team here, we decided that this was an offering that we could get our arms around, something that we thought was scalable. And, you know, maybe it was kind of a step between as we talked about on part one of Family Office Services podcast, step between like the, you know, kind of LITE, potential bill pay, et cetera, that a traditional wealth management relationship would provide, but maybe not to the level of the comprehensive nature that some of our, you know, some of our existing bill pay and tax services would create. And so this particular client is over the moon about the services. You know, every year we send him the bill and he's very glad to pay it. And, you know, we expect that we're going to be rolling this out to a lot more clients, especially again, with the efforts that we've made to help people pay their taxes and do it in a secure way. I think a lot of our clients are saying, hey, you know what? This is great that you've got me set up, but I don't want to have to deal with this myself. And so I think that's going to be another area of growth when it comes to family office services for Merlin Wealth Management.
And if I can add to that a little bit, you know, I've been on the team now for 10 years, and 9 years of that was in the service capacity. So I've worked with a lot of our clients in these different capacities over the years. And, you know, since being at Rockefeller, you know, we've really solidified our service model, we've constructed that. And, you know, the expectations that we have around what we deliver to our clients is a standard of excellence, right? And we want to do things a certain way and the right way for clients, and we want to make sure they have access to what they need. So, I mean, over the years, working with people around, you know, gathering tax things, like working with them to make tax payments and evolve how we make those tax payments and educate them and, you know, do things electronically, you know, just having things organized and things, you know, in a retention folder for them. Like, we went through a big effort at one point to help clients do that. And also even just helping people with estates, you know, like, you know, people go through these periods of time where things come up and they're looking for help, and being able to kind of do that over the years, I can really see how this offering really gives people peace of mind, right? Because they're coming to us because they trust us, and we're able to leverage the partnership that we have with you to just expand on that offering of what we've kind of been doing, you know, some of it over the years sporadically, but now we're really able to offer it as a holistic service to our clients. So I'm really excited about that. And I think it will give people time, and it will give people peace of mind, which is what we've always tried to do.
I couldn't agree with you more, April. Again, I think that this went by super fast, and I think we shared a lot of great information with our listeners, which I love. I always like to give our special guest the last word. So Rebecca, I'll give you the floor for some final thoughts.
Thank you, Michael, and such a special time to spend with you all and your listeners. I just really enjoyed these two podcasts and these episodes on family office services. I hope that all of your listeners are walking away with a better understanding of what our services entail, the history of Rockefeller Family Office, and really the unique solutions and capabilities we've created to partner with advisors just like Merlin Wealth Management. I really believe, and I think you all agree with me, that we're going to deliver something really special to your clients, no matter what capability they are going to engage with us on.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Rebecca, for being here. We really appreciate all the time that you spent with us. And I know that both of these podcasts are going to be, you know, really valuable to our listeners and our clients. As always, if any of our listeners have questions about family office services or any of the other services MWM provides, please don't hesitate to reach out to us directly. We thank you for listening, and we hope you continue to follow our podcast on Apple and Spotify. And I hope you have a great day.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Taking the Complex and Making It Simple, the Merlin Wealth Management Educational Podcast. For more information on Merlin Wealth Management, please visit our website at rcm.rocco.com/Merlin. Please stay tuned for an important legal disclaimer. This recording is provided for informational purposes only and is not an offer to buy or sell or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any security or to participate in any investment strategy and should not be interpreted to constitute a recommendation with respect to any security or investment plan. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the presenters as of the date of this recording, may not be current, and are subject to change and are general in nature. Rockefeller Capital Management has no obligation to provide any updates or changes. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Rockefeller Capital Management and may differ from the views and opinions of other departments or divisions of Rockefeller Capital Management and its affiliates. Rockefeller Capital Management is not providing any financial, economic, legal, accounting, or tax advice or recommendations in this podcast. The information is not individualized. You should review any planned financial transactions or arrangement that may have tax, accounting, or legal implications with your personal professional advisors. Rockefeller Capital Management does not guarantee the accuracy or reliability of the information provided in this podcast, and any liability, therefore, including in respect of direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. No investment strategy can guarantee profit or protection from loss. Future results may vary substantially from past performance. Investing involves risk, including a risk of loss. This recording may not be copied, reproduced, or distributed in whole or in part for any purpose without prior written consent. Rockefeller Capital Management is the marketing name of Rockefeller Capital Management LP and its affiliates. Merlin Wealth Management is part of Rockefeller Financial LLC, a broker-dealer and investment advisor duly registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, member Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Securities Investor Protection Corporation. The registrations and memberships mentioned in no way imply the SEC has endorsed the entities, products, or services discussed herein. Additional information is available upon request.